I think you have been able to see from the words we have read in Psalm 16, just how they link up with Acts chapter 2. I said it is a psalm of Christ. And my dear brothers and sisters, the more that you read the Psalms, you will find that they are exuding the Lord Jesus Christ in so many, many places. As a matter of fact, they are really veiled prayers often. They are communication of God through his only begotten Son, through David in the Psalms. And this is one of those Psalms that is for us a great blessing. And yet we will not miss out on the blessing to think that it cannot be applied to the Christian in our life. Because most definitely, and in most cases, those experiences of Christ, they are going to be experiences of his people and in his church. And I mean by that, the sufferings of the Lord. Well, we also will experience his sufferings, not the atoning sufferings, but the sufferings he experienced of being rejected, the sufferings of being punished for things he did not do, the anxiety and stresses of being rejected by his family. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? When you have been rejected by those who are close to you, that's a very, very hard thing. What about when friends and people you have known for a long time turn against you and turn away from you? Well, the Lord felt and knew all of these things. And so, in so many ways, we enter into the sufferings of our Lord. And his experiences, well, they are reflected and become our experiences in our life. This is a good thing. It might not seem so good at the time you're going through it, but I can tell you, it is a good thing. Why? Because you experience something of the realization this life is not a picnic, and the cost of our salvation was very high. And why, if they rejected the Lord Jesus, should we not be rejected? Why, if they spurned him, should we not be spurned? Why, if he suffered, would we not? Yes, brother. Yes, sister. Whatever is your current situation and whatever the matter is now, you just bring that to the Lord. And instead of feeling sorry for yourself, instead of saying, oh, poor me, I am so hard done by, why has this come on my account? Stop asking those questions and begin by saying, yes, Lord, you suffered on my account and you suffered so much more. And therefore, if I might experience a little taste, a little something of what my Lord experienced, I should not complain about it. For he went as a lamb to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He did not revile when those reviled him. He remained silent. And you and I are to bear the revilings and the sufferings in our life as Christ did. And this is how we are to look at the Psalms, and certainly look at a psalm like this and see how we can learn and be edified and be strengthened and built up in our most holy faith so that we will grow. Because at the end of the day, we have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world by a sovereign God. We have been chosen. The Spirit of God awakened us the day he convicted us of our sin and pointed us to the only Savior of our soul. And then he gave us the grace to receive that gift, to believe in him. So it's all of grace in our salvation, but we also realize that those steps and the part of our sanctification following on from being saved is so that we will become like our Lord. How are we doing? How are you doing? Are you becoming more and more like Christ? What's this last week been for you? How about the last month? What's been going on? Well, I just want to encourage you, my dear brother, my dear sister, my dear young person. I want to encourage you to turn your eyes upon Jesus, to look full in his wonderful face, because the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. This is true. Are you a pilgrim bound for the heavenly land? Never lose sight of Jesus. This is the great focal point that you and I are to have today. I want to turn your attention for our service now to verse 8. And I pray that as we consider the words of this verse, the Lord will indelibly write the truth upon our hearts, that he will speak to us and he will make use of us in our Christian walk. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Christian, there is a choice that you and I will make in serving our God. It is a choice that the Lord gives us to make. And how much we want to know God, how much we are determined to experience him, is, I believe, a large degree up to the individual believer. Now, I trust the sovereign God as you do. But let us never make that as an excuse whereby as a Christian we do not do what is our responsibility. And the Lord has not made us robots. He has given us a will. He has given us a heart. And I hope, dear brother and sister, you are hearing the word of God today, and let this be applied to your own heart. Because no one of us, we are not going to be able, as we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord and say to God, well, I'm only as Christ-like as you wanted me to be. No, that is not what we're going to be able to say. Because when Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, he is made like unto Christ. But you cannot say, I am not what I should be by the lack of the grace of God. We can't say that. And so in the opening verse, in the opening line of verse 8, David said, I have set the Lord always before me. That's a choice. And it's a choice that you and I will make in our life. And the degree with which we will pursue the Lord is going to be largely up to our hunger and thirst after righteousness. I will tell you that there is never going to be a time in your Christian life when you are going to be hungering and thirsting after the Lord, and you're going to be asking God to make you more like Christ, that he is going to say, no, you've had enough now. You're not going to become any more like my son. That is not going to happen. It's not going to happen because it's not the will of God for it to happen. The will of God is for us to be conformed to his son. And the Lord wants us every day of our life to be holy like he is holy. He's commanded us to do that. So here is an opportunity to take this verse, Psalm 16, verse 8, and to pray its truth into our souls. And I mean pray it in so that it will never come out. And it'll start like this. Lord, I have set the Lord always before me. Or let's make it a prayer this way. Lord, I pray that I will always set the Lord before me. And I guarantee you something, that if you begin every day of your life from this time forward, and you start off your day by praying that prayer, Lord, I want to set you before me today, God will answer that prayer. How do I know? Because it's his will. And you don't have to wonder about certain things when you pray them, when you know they are the will of God. And your likeness to Christ and my likeness to Jesus, it's the will of God. And therefore, pray on that authority. Believer, this is a very vital thing and an important thing for us to consider in this time. I have set the Lord always before me. So you look at this in the light of the prayer of Jesus, and you can say that is 100% correct, because Christ always did that. But then we turn it to ourselves, or to the prayer that David prayed, and we are praying it with David, aren't we? I have set. That's something that he is stating as a past event. Now, when you came to know Jesus as your Savior, you were a new person, and the Lord put new desires, a new heart in you. He put a new goal, a new future. He put us under new management. And at that time, you said, I want to live for the Lord. And at your conversion, you set the Lord in your life. You set him there, and he willingly has taken that spot. Now, that's a statement that was made in the past. I have set the Lord. But maybe there's some believer here today, and I'm speaking to you. And you have to admit you've gotten away from the Lord, and you're not where you should be, and you're not where you once were. And it's grieving your heart, and you know it's not right. Maybe something has happened in your life. Maybe you have been hurt by some family member, some friend, and maybe you're sort of wallowing in your self-pity, or you're grinding over angry thoughts, and these things are all going to hinder setting the Lord before us continually and faithfully. And so if you have to look back at a time in your life when things were better, you were closer to the Lord, you were more joyful, you were more in prayer, you were more in attendance in the house of God, and on it goes. But now today it's a bit different. And I'm not talking about health reasons. I'm not talking about other factors. I'm speaking about the heart. So, brother and sister, quietly in your heart now, utter that prayer, Lord, I want to get back on track with you. I want to get back in fellowship. I want to get back where my heart is burning on fire with zeal for the Lord, not just going through the motions of church, not just going through attending prayer meeting or attending here or there. No, but the fire of God might be in our hearts and might be in our lives. Brethren, sisters, it's time. The hour is late. We don't know how much time we have left. We must shine for the Master now, today, right where we are. Therefore, let us make that determination, because it is a choice that you will determine before the Lord, and do so with all your mind and being. Notice in the second place here in this verse, the time that is given for us to determine that we are going to live for God. Well, he said, I have set the Lord always before me. Think on that word, always. Christianity and serving God is not a temporary fix to a problem. People often talk about the band-aid solutions to problems, and you know what that means. You're trying to deal with things on the symptom rather than dealing with the root cause of what's really happened. Well, we don't want to have a Christianity that is like a band-aid solution. No, we want to have a service for God that is full-throated, all heart. And that means that the time frame is important. I set the Lord always before me. Because we don't want to serve the Lord with a, let's say, an 80% average. Some of us in school, had we got 80%, we would have been pretty happy. Maybe some in school, if they had got 55, they might have been happy just to pass the course. But that's not the way it's supposed to be with our Christian walk. No. We want to serve the Lord 100%. And we often talk about the 110%. We want to give the Lord all of our being. Have we done that? Well, I think we all have to admit with degrees of shame, no, Lord, we haven't. We have failed you. We have been miserable in our Christian witness at times. We have forsaken the Lord. We have feared the face of man more than the face of God. We have not been a witness when we should have been. Or maybe we have just been too cantankerous when we should have been more gracious. Maybe we've had bitter spirits rising up in our hearts when we should have got that taken care of. I can go on and on with all these matters. We know what that's like because we're all guilty of it. That's the bottom line. We're all broken and failing creatures, aren't we? But here is the aspiration. Here is the goal. Here is the cry that Christ was able to make, that he had set his Father always before him. He said, I do always those things that please him. Now, I can't do that. I can't say that. But the Lord Jesus did. But this is what we aspire to. This is what we attain to. And so we're saying to you today, and I pray the Lord's Spirit will say this to us all as well. I want to be out and out for God. I want to be sold out for him. I want to set the Lord always before me. So if we're going to get up in the morning and make a prayer to God and say, Lord, I want to set you before me today. But Lord, I want to set you always before me, morning, noon, and night. And I pray that I will know the victory of the devil, of the victory over the devil, over all of Satan and sin. I pray, Lord, that I will always resist the devil, that he will flee from me. Yes, pray that prayer. I will always resist the devil, that he will flee from me. Because the more brothers and sisters that we get serious about serious matters, and we get serious about praying very special prayers, you will be surprised how specifically God will answer those prayers in our lives. Part of the all-way prayer certainly is linked up with the potential coldness that there may be residing in some heart today. And I'm saying to you that I go through those periods myself. There are times when I am battling my flesh. I'm battling the coldness of heart. I'm fighting and wrestling, trying to get clear of these things. And I know what that's like. And believe me, as a pastor, we're under the attack of the devil maybe more than some people in the pew. It's possible. Yeah, because if the devil can get us down and cause me to stumble and trip and fall, then there's a greater calamity involved in everything. Yeah, I know what that's like, trying to be always on track for the Lord, but realizing we have been imperfect in that. But it doesn't mean my prayer is not there. And it means that at the times when we fall, do you know what? The Lord allows us at times to go through that, because especially if we're getting a bit too cocky, if we're getting a bit too full of ourselves, if we're getting a bit too full thinking that, oh, I've been walking with the Lord now for 2 months and all is good. Guess what? We might be going for a face plant anytime soon, because the Lord wants us to know that we are not able for these matters, that we must seek him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. we pray that he will watch over us and help us in that very, very important prayer. So we want to have the Lord always in front of us. Please notice in the third point I leave with you, this is a blessed one because here is the helper in all this. Here is the constant companion. The third point, the constant companion in this verse. It says, because he is at my right hand. Who is the he that is being spoken about here? Well, for us as believers, it is our Savior. It is the Spirit of God. It is the truth that God the Father dwells within us. Christ is in us. The Spirit of God is in us. And if the Lord Jesus was able to say that he knew his Father was always by his side, that had never forsaken him and left him, that the Holy Spirit of which he was filled to the full, to the maximum, the Spirit was not given to him in measure, then for us, we can be comforted and encouraged, and we can be motivated to know that the Holy Ghost will never leave us. Christ has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And underneath us, brothers, sisters, underneath us are the everlasting arms of the eternal God. Do you know that truth? Oh, know it. Hold it. Embrace it. Grip it with all your might and never let it go. Because this is God's word. This is his promise to us. And when the Lord makes a promise, he is going to keep that promise, and we may abide in him, and we may walk with him. We may know constant communion with our Lord. Yes, and I will tell you something. It doesn't always mean you're going to have a big smile on your face, because it may be that your body is racked with pain. It may be that your heart is breaking because of a family problem, something going on at work or church. It may be that you're weighed down with heavy burdens. Ah, the Lord would come to us and say, my child, I am here. And you'll respond, yes, Lord, I know you're here. I know you're with me. I know you'll never leave me. But he's also telling us, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. And so the Lord doesn't want us to bear more than we are able. In fact, he tells us there is no temptation that is going to be beyond what we are able to bear. And the Lord is able to support us and sustain us. And when we trip and stumble and fall, the righteous man, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him in his way. Our constant companion. You talk with the Lord when you're driving in your car, your truck, your tractor, wherever it is. You're singing to the Lord. These are blessed truths. This is the fellowship that we enjoy in Christ, you know. And our constant companion, the one who will never leave us. But I wonder, have we known times of grieving the Spirit of God? Do you know what David said? David said that my sin has kept me away from God, and my sin has kept me away from praying. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. And so we know that our companion can be grieved. And we will know the silence of the companion. And maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you're going through it right now. The silence of your great companion, because we have grieved him. And we need to come in and bring our hearts openly to confess and repent and pray for cleansing and not hold on to things that are bitter spirits or problems that we might be having, that we just got to come to the Lord and say, Father, please take these away from me. I repent. I'm sorry. Yeah. And it's important for us to do that in order that we will walk humbly with our God, doing justly and loving mercy. That's what he calls upon us to do. So we don't want to grieve our constant companion. We don't want to have him stay on the outside of the door. And just as the Song of Solomon speaks about the one who went to the door and looked through the keyhole and was expecting to see her Lord and King, and the Lord had removed himself. He was not there anymore. He had distanced himself. Well, we don't want the Lord to be distant from us. We want him to be near us at all times. Now, finally, the last point I leave with you is that this is grounded on something that is very stable. There is a grounding here to this prayer, because the last verse, the last section of it says, I shall not be moved. Now, let's understand this, because as a Christian in the boat of life, if we could put it that way, sometimes the sea gets very rough. And sometimes the vessel of your life is being bounced around, it seems, on the rough waves of some trial, some circumstance. So how does it apply here when it says, I shall not be moved? Well, the expansion of this means I shall not be overturned. I shall not be sunk and drowned. I shall not be so wrecked upon the rocks on my journey that I will be destroyed. No, I shall not be moved. I will be able to be stable in the midst of the storm. And yeah, it's going to get rough at times. But with the Lord, with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. We can be sure that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And we will be solid and strong and certain and immovable. And again, that's where we come to 1 Corinthians 15. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we are solid and moved and unmoved. Think again of the Savior's illustration of the house that was built upon the rock. And when the storms of life would come, and in that case, the storms of judgment, that house will not move because it's founded on Christ. And we will never move, friends, because we are founded on Jesus. He is the foundation of the church. He's the foundation of our hearts, of our souls for eternity. This gives us great encouragement. And this, I trust, by God's grace, will encourage your heart today that whatever's going on, that you will persevere and press through, and you will know great victory, and God will bless you abundantly in your heart and in your soul and in your life. And I trust that in all these matters, that we will be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, how precious is this psalm. And as we have scratched the surface of its teaching and of the great wonder and splendor of the commentary of Acts 2 on it, Lord, we stand by in great wonder and awe at the greatness of the word of truth, of the profound teaching in the revelation that you've given to us. And Lord, it's really no wonder to us, because your God, the creator of all things. And I pray that we will have increased in our hearts every day a growth in grace, in the knowledge of God. Dear Father, help us, I pray. Bless every member in the church. Watch over everyone in the congregation. Encourage their hearts. Bless us now today. Remember, Lord, again, Renee and Kamla and Richard. I pray for their salvation. Many others like them. Make all of us soul winners, I pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.